One night recently, our two-year-old grandson, some of you met him at Dairy Queen with his dinosaurs, he was watching television, I think of a show called Super Why or Super Science or something like that, and he popped up in the middle of it and said to our daughter Maureen, his mother, "Mama, Mama, let's go outside. I want to see outer space." So before she could grab him, he ran, opened the sliding glass door, ran out on the patio, looked up, reached his little arms up as high as they would go, and went, "Mama, Mama, I want to go there, and I can't reach it." So she said, "Well, honey, outer space is really high. You're not going to reach it with your arms." So his face sort of down fell, and then he thought a moment, and he said, "Mommy, Mommy, you go get me a tall ladder?" She took a deep breath and she said, "Well, John, you know, it is so high and so vast that even a tall ladder will not help you get there." Well, now he started almost to get tears in his eyes. And she was trying to think of what to say next. And then he said, "Mommy, Mommy, Superman take me there?" And she said at that point she thought that was definitely her best option. So she said, "Of course Superman can take you there." And he said, "Okay," and went back inside to his TV show. And that was the end of that. Now, I don't know if Superman really can help John get to outer space, but I do know one thing. Maureen posted this on her Facebook page, and at the bottom of her post, she put, "2-year-old thinking, it's the best." And I agree with that. His 2-year-old thinking was the best. Because even though I'm not sure how reliable Superman will be to get him to outer space, I am amazed, absolutely amazed, that a 2-year-old can imagine the possibility. Imagine the possibility. And who knows, if he continues to hold that vision, maybe someday he will get there. Maybe he will. And Jonathan Swift wrote, "Vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others." Now, a couple of weeks ago at First Unity, we came together to create a new vision for our church and for the world. And it is printed on the front of your bulletin, but it's also here. "In oneness of spirit, we celebrate a world awakened to infinite possibilities." Will you say that with me with all the enthusiasm of a 2-year-old child? Would you say that with me? "In oneness of spirit, we celebrate a world awakened to infinite possibilities." That's not a small vision, is it? It's not a small vision at all. But being small in our thoughts, in our actions, does not serve the universe, and it does not serve us. A vision is always on the big picture. It's that which we hold in our highest possible expression, describing what we see as the greatest expression of our identity, one that, if reached, would absolutely change the world. And I know Reverend Tony Boehm was here 2 weeks ago and did a great job with a metaphysical interpretation of our vision, but I'd like for us together to take a closer look at it today, our vision and our mission. And we know that our vision begins with the words "in oneness," oneness. Oneness is also one of our core values, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we read about oneness. He says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to be the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And we affirm here every single Sunday morning, there is only how many powers? One, only one power and one presence in the universe and at work in our lives. God, the good, omnipotent. And oneness means that we do not have a God who's far away up in some distant place like in outer space, but one who is indwelling with us always. We live and move and have our being in this one presence, Paul says, is through us and in us all. And Bible scholar Ed Townley writes about this passage, "We find in this passage from Ephesians a ringing of firmness of oneness, unity, the allness of God expressing in every way it can to support and serve our own innate oneness as the Christ of our being." And in this oneness with God, in this oneness with good, because they are synonymous, we celebrate a world awakened. Now, what image pops in your head when you hear the word celebrate? What image do you get? What do you think of? It's a real question. You can answer. What do we think of? Joy. I heard joy. Okay. Well, in other words, you don't think of this. You don't think. That's backwards. You don't think of the Pharisees being so solemn and stern and, you know, that stern religion. Or you don't think of Queen Victoria and her assessment of marriage. For those of you who can't see it in the back, she wrote, "A marriage is no amusement, but a solemn act, and generally a sad one." Not part of, or if any young people in the room thinking about getting married here, that's not part of our Unity marriage ceremony. However, I just read this week, if you want to research that, there's a really interesting article in the BBC News, you can find it online, about why she might say that. And the story is called "The Real Story of Queen Victoria's Domestic Bliss." So she had some reasons to maybe have that idea. The point is today, not in the time of the Pharisees and not in the time of Queen Victoria, but today, the word celebrate connotes just what you all said a few minutes ago, joy and dancing and rejoicing and gratitude. And we celebrate lots of things in this culture, do we not? Name some things we celebrate. Birthdays, anniversaries, sports victories, good times, losing 2 pounds. You know, we have lots of celebrations. And in our vision statement, we are affirming that we joyfully celebrate a world awakened. Now, this is not a physical awakening. This is obviously, There's our celebrate. This is obviously a spiritual awakening, an awakening to infinite possibilities. Awaken is defined by our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, as becoming conscious of the things of spirit. So that's what awaken means in our vision statement, to be conscious of God, conscious of spirit in the world and in the universe. And Mr. Fillmore also defined infinite as that which embraces all. It's the totality of being, and that's being with a capital B. It's the totality of being, including all knowledge, all space, all life, the complete all. That which was from the beginning is now and ever shall be. Without end or limitation, it is boundless, immeasurable, inexhaustible. And then he ends the definition with, God is infinite and eternal. And so we envision, affirm, and celebrate a world spiritually awakened to infinite possibilities of goodness, all the good we can imagine, and you know what? So much more than we can ever in our human minds imagine. Our human minds limit the goodness, all the possibilities of the divine. And that's the meaning of our vision statement. Next, our mission statement tells how we intend to do our part to achieve the vision. What are we going to do in the First Unity Church of St. Louis what are we going to express? What are we going to send out to the entire world to make our vision possible? So here it is. We are a vibrant, inclusive, spiritual community enriching lives through positive prayer, education, and service. Will you say that with me? Ready? We are a vibrant, inclusive, spiritual community enriching lives through positive prayer, education, and service. We are vibrant, full of energy and enthusiasm, spirited, lively, energetic, vigorous, animated, sparkling, effervescent, vivacious, dynamic, stimulating, exciting, passionate, and fiery. Never mind what I used to tell my students about not stringing together adjectives. We are all of those, okay? Now, does that describe us or doesn't it? Does it describe us? That's who we are. You can feel that when you walk in the door. 2 weeks ago when Toni Bain was with us and we were doing God's Wonderful People, she grabbed my arm and she said, "Oh my goodness, I just had a vision." You have to pay attention to Toni's visions, believe me. And I said, "Well, what?" And she said, You just have this powerful spiritual energy here. I see this church so filled that you're going to have to build more seating to hold everybody." And I said, "Amen, amen." So, and we also are inclusive. I'm so glad that word inclusive ended up in our mission statement. Dr. Scott Peck in the book, there's Vibrant. See, all the adjectives that I got out of my mouth are on the screen. There it is. Okay. Dr. Scott Peck, in his book, A Different Drum, says, a true community must be inclusive, is and must be inclusive. He says, the great enemy in trying to build community is exclusivity. Groups that exclude others because they're poor, and these are his list, poor or divorced, are of a different race, religion, sexual orientation, or nationality, those groups are not communities. They are, well, guess what? Cliques. They are cliques. Actually defensive bastions against community. And when you think about it, the early Christian church was the first institution in history to bring together Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, men and women, slaves and free. And the prefix com, does anybody know what it means? Anybody? I think it's from the Latin. Those of you who took Latin should know this. The prefix com means with or together, in association, completely included, completely included. And Peck says, in a true community, now listen to see if this sounds like us, in a true community, people develop a significant commitment to rejoice together, mourn together, and to delight in each other, to make others' conditions our own. In other words, to have true empathy for one another. Some of you are shaking your hands, your heads. And I believe this especially must be true in a spiritual community where all people come together in a beautiful, authentic communion in community and in communion. And at First Unity, our mission is to enrich lives. There it is again. To enrich lives, to make them fuller, deeper, richer through positive prayer, education, and service. And by the way, one person added on the little input sheets that we needed to add love to that. But the only reason we didn't do that is love is a core value, and our core values override and stand under our mission. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So, in Unity, and especially here at First Unity, I think, we use prayer. We use positive, affirmative prayer to help others find the strength and the courage and the faith that they really already have within, but we help them to connect with it. And our life-affirming approach to prayer acknowledges Spirit's ever, ever unfolding good and envisions it manifesting in our lives no matter what we might see that seems to be to the contrary. And Jesus guided us to this practice when he said during the Sermon on the Mount, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches, some versions say seek and some versions say searches, everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Interestingly, the word ask, which sounds a little bit like begging or beseeching God, but in the Greek, the word really meant claim. Not beg, but claim, to claim what's already there. So Jesus taught again and again that we need to look past appearances, especially if they're negative, to claim the good that is our divine inheritance. That's just a beautiful piece. And Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founder, wrote, we pray to change our minds and hearts. We pray to change our minds and hearts so that God's omnipresent good will fill us and manifest in our lives. And so we pray affirmatively. We reconnect with the divine essence of our being. We accept and merge with all the qualities of divine mind. And we focus on God's infinite goodness and love. That definitely enriches lives. Not only those of us who come to the sanctuary on Sunday, but those who listen online, those with whom we pray over the phone, those who call Silent Unity. It just enriches many, many lives. And secondly, our mission says we are going to enrich lives through education for both adults and children. Now, Tony Boehm stole one of my greatest quotes, so I'm just stealing it back today, about what education is, and that is, it's from the Latin educare, which actually means to draw out from within, to draw out what is already there. Here's an example of that in action. Maybe little Jack Horner became argumentative because he was backed into a corner, the little boy says, leaving him no options. All right, that's an example of critical thinking, and it happens often in children if we don't squash it out, if we don't, you know, tell them it's being disrespectful, okay? And the Fillmores would have loved this child engaging in critical thinking, because often in his classes, Charles would interrupt his students when they were quoting him, and he would interrupt them with the question, yes, 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 but what do you think? What do you think? There were certain divine ideas that Charles knew that he knew, and he was so certain of that truth that he was able to let students, adult and children alike, arrive at it for themselves. You know, that's a great gift, to let somebody arrive at the truth for themselves. He said, if you want eternal truth, you must seek it in your own heart. It's not required, as one of our congregants always says, whose initials happen to be Betty Ponser, always says, you don't have to check your brain at the door. In unity, you don't have to check your brain at the door. And Charles and Myrtle believed and modeled all their lives the power of open minds. When Charles was still in his 90s, he was still saying, I reserve the right to change my mind. Wouldn't you love to know what Charles Fillmore was thinking today? He was so far ahead of his time. So the Fillmores actually, as many of you know, called those of us who come to study truth, they called all of their students truth students. And it's no accident that we call our Sunday morning talk not a sermon, but a lesson, inviting people. It's a lesson. So following the Fillmores' example, First Unity has a long and rich history of teaching youth and adult classes, teaching youth and adult classes and encouraging students to question, to reflect, to grow. That's our main piece in teaching. And we're looking forward at First Unity to more adult classes in the future because, thank you, God, I'm affirming in advance that Ann Hart UP will be entering the Licensed Unity Teacher Program in September, if we send in all her paperwork today or this week, and I know that's going to happen. Also, we have two people, Hope Dotson and Carla Reel, taking lessons, perhaps toward becoming licensed teachers. And I know that we will together as a spiritual community, find and create ways to bring more young families into our church. We've been doing a lot of research on that, and we have some ideas about reaching out into the community. And our Sunday school, I want you to know right this minute, the teachers are down there. I don't know if there are any kids down there today or not, but they are down there. They are open and ready. They have incredible lessons prepared every single Sunday and activities planned. And we affirm that this vibrant, inclusive spiritual community will attract more and more youth in the future. So visualize that with me now, and together we will put our feet to our prayers to make it happen. So finally, our mission statement addresses, I'm not going to give you a test yet, but one of these days soon I'm going to ask you what is our mission statement, okay? Finally, our mission statement addresses enriching lives through service. Through service. Jesus was the perfect way shower of this. He knew that his mission on this earth was to serve. He healed the sick, restored sight to the blind, liberated those who were considered social outcasts, including the poor, women and children, lepers, tax collectors, prostitutes, and Samaritans. In fact, shortly after the temptations in the wilderness, Jesus returned to the temple in Jerusalem, and there he unrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah from the Hebrew Bible and read the following to all the people. Originally from Isaiah, now quoted by Jesus in Luke, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim to the captives and proclaim release to the captives. This version says freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then, very thoughtfully, I can picture Jesus rolling that scroll back up, handing it to the attendant who put it away, and saying to everyone within his earshot, "And today is the day that this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So let's make this the day for us also that that scripture is fulfilled. And in John 1 John 2 verse 6, we read, "Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus Christ did." So when we discover our own spiritual gifts and passions and use them to serve others, not only in our own church community, but in the greater community and in the world. Someone wrote in their little evaluation at the word service, "I hope this means inside and outside of the church." And I agree with that. I think that was a good point. When we do that, we are serving as Jesus served. And with service as part of our new mission, I know that we're going to do an even better job to expand our sacred service projects. We have some good ones going on, but we can do more. And that's a win-win, because when we serve wholeheartedly and joyfully, we are being who we really are, the very essence of spirit, and a channel for good and a blessing for others. And that's really important. Realizing this, we find ourselves knowing that we can serve as Jesus did. And what does that mean? That means serving without judgment, expecting nothing in return, but the joy of connecting with someone who could benefit from what we have to give, and the realization that in giving, in serving, we receive. It's a great blessing to give. And finally, let's take a look at our new core values. They're printed on the front of your bulletin, and here's a one quote by Gandhi, who says, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." And now let's look at our core values. Have one correction to make, which is my typo, not Carla's. So first of all, I want to thank Carla Reel, who is just the master at this. She came out at the board meeting last week or whenever we met. Maybe we should put our core values in a circle. So I asked Carla last Sunday, I said, "Do you think you could do that?" And like 3:30 Sunday afternoon, I got this beautiful Starburst graphic. And Marianne didn't know that Carla was working on it. She also created a circle. I'm so grateful for all this technological support here. And here they are. There's one error. The error is the original word, and I dragged out the charts. Bob went to throw them away the day after our visioning, and I said, "No, don't throw them away. We might need them." I hid them behind my couch in my office. So the real word was acceptance, not accepting. And I asked Carla to change it because I thought it was accepting. So we're going to fix that. So instead of accepting, it's acceptance. So let's start at the top, and let's read around our circle. These are our core values. This, what that means is, these are the values that we hold dear as a spiritual community. These undergird everything we do. And if we start trying to do something and it doesn't align with these, or especially if it's in juxtaposition of these, then we need to regroup, because this is who we say we are. So let's read together from the top. Ready? Spirit-led, love, oneness, acceptance, welcoming, spiritual growth. So those are our core values, and they are the foundation for everything we do as a ministry. And so may we come together this day and in all the days ahead as a vibrant, inclusive spiritual community to ask ourselves, what is the infinite possibility in this now moment for each of us individually, for the church as a whole, and for the world? Together, let's set the intention to become the vision and mission as we are seeking. That we are seeking. And as we set this intention together, let us affirm the great truth about our God, that there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.